Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of the Jake and Gino podcast, here with my co-host, the multi-family mentor, the coach, chef, the father, six, the best-selling author, the G-Daddy, Gino Barbo. Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I am doing phenomenal this morning. You want to know why I'm doing phenomenal?
Because you're going to pitch me on coming to Florida?
No, because you already are coming to Florida. I don't even have to pitch anymore. You pitched yourself. I'm just pitching the extension of the trip. 2 days is not enough for the kids. Maybe four. Let's make it 4 days, Jake.
You know, maybe it's just built into the subconscious and I just wanted you to pull me in. But we have bigger things to discuss today. We will get to that later. I'm always making it happen, Gino. I want you to know that. I just want you to know I'm always making it happen. I'm here for you.
I know that.
And today we got a very special guest. Today's guest is the founder and CEO of Make More Leaders. He coaches ambitious executives like the G-Daddy to master their mindset, discover their goals, and ultimately achieve them. So without further ado, Vamsi Polametla, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. Great to be here. Every session, every coaching call, I start with, what are you grateful for? This morning, I'm grateful for being here with you guys. Super excited. Well,
let's hope you're grateful by the end of the call, because you're gratefulful right now. Let's just hope it ends gratefully, right, Jake?
You know, Gino, this is my personal mastermind. These are my personal coaching calls. I'm a little resistant to it till I get on, and then the ship's off and running. So I'm happy to be here. Grateful to have you here. Let's get to know each other a little bit better. Please share with us your background and how you got started in business.
Absolutely, Jake. Originally from India. Been living in the U.S. for almost 20 years. And if you're born in India...
Indian Americans are like the richest people right now, by the way, too. I saw the net worth of Indian Americans. They're like average like over $100,000. So American Indians killing it right now. Absolutely killing it. So sorry, just had to get that out there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Recently watched one video by David Kirkpatrick. He was talking about like all Indian Americans and like what kind of wealth they're controlling. Super, super grateful that the community is doing pretty good. So if you're born in India, little background story, while growing up, you have very limited options. Your parents always expect you to be an engineer or a doctor, and there's a final option. Maybe most of the people, they don't want to be there, like a failure. So I happened to be an engineer, and long story short, I was always like a B-minus C student in the school. I happened to like get into computer science, and I survived there for like a 20 plus years in the corporate. About like a 6 years
Notice
ago.
He said survived, Gino. He survived. He wasn't thriving. He was surviving.
Right. Yeah. It's not like I became a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar company. While in the corporate, I was always like investing into my personal growth. And because of those investments, I became who am I today. And 6 years ago, I started an organization called Make More Leaders, helping people to achieve greatness in their life.
Vamsi, when you say you start every day being grateful, I feel of myself as being a prick sometimes because I want to be more grateful sometimes. And sometimes I'm saying, yeah, I'm grateful. How do you dive into that? How do you really lock into saying, I really want to have gratitude right now? Not just write it down, not just fake it, but really be grateful. Because I think in this country, we take so much for granted. And I think people from out of this country, my parents are immigrants. They come here. I mean, they've got running water. They've got electricity. And there's so much to be grateful. But we take so many things for granted in this country. What would your answer to that be about really not only just pretending to show more gratitude, but really locking in and really being a part of your day?
Absolutely, Gino. This is something that I learned from a couple of my mentors, Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. There are two ways that we can be. Either we are operating from a gap mentality or we are operating from a gain mentality. Just like a slow down a little bit and ask yourself, is my kids are okay today? Is still have my loving ones around me, my wife, my husband, maybe my parents, my in-laws, they all like with me. So start something that like maybe you can immediately see that. And if the answer is yes, then go on to like, do I have like the basic necessity things? So sometimes we always go into, oh, you know what? Like I really wanted to have a Model X of Tesla. I'm driving Model Y. So that's like going into the gap mentality versus like what you already have. Like maybe I never had a car like 20 years ago. My dream was to buy a dream car. This is funny that you asked me this. Almost like 20 years ago, I was living in Singapore at that time. I went for my US visa, Gino, and It was very fun interview. Typically, US visas are like very like scary things. Oh, you need to be prepared. It was just like a casually in front of a officer. He asked me, why you wanted to go to US? My answer was, I wanted to buy a car. And he laughed at it. Tell me more about what car you wanted to buy. I told him, like, I wanted to buy an X5. And he was just like laughing and say, hey, Singapore is such a beautiful country. Do you really wanted to go to US? At the time, I was landing in Columbus, Ohio, middle of winter. So said, like, yeah, I really wanted to drive a four-wheel drive. So it's like, say, going back to that, like where you were 10 years ago, where you are 20 years ago compared to where you are now. I think just slowing down and answering that question will give us a lot of fuel to proceed in the day.
And I think...
Gino, real quick, can I jump in on that as well for a second?
Yeah,
and
go
it's
ahead.
Just because, you know, I was talking to you about this yesterday. I spent last week in Aruba and had a unique experience in the sense that anytime that, you know, you go on vacation, you go to different places, you get a chance to reflect, slow down, and be present. And I think there's a few things to your question about that. I think one is if you start poor, you have a different perspective ingrained in you from the beginning. And, you know, you could say that you're poor in the U.S., but even the poorest people in the U.S., you know, even looking to these folks that are quote-unquote poor in Aruba, that's a whole different poor. Okay. And in third world countries, poor in those countries is much different than being poor in the US. So there's folks that I think start off poor, quote unquote, in the US, still rise up, have a different experience, but then it's exposure, awareness, and presence. For myself, going to a place that has less money than the US, seeing people maybe making $900 a month, that gave me exposure. I was present while I was there. I was able to slow down and I had the awareness enough to take it in, which created a unique experience for me being in that place. So I think it's very important for folks that maybe get into the day-to-day, getting accustomed to the U.S., get outside, get to some places where you're going to have more exposure and awareness to see what different places of the world are looking like. I think that will ingrain a lot of gratitude and you'll be thankful for what we have and what we've created in the U.S. And hopefully you take it a step further and you fight to protect that. Because I do think many times where this country is going, there's opportunities for us to lose it. And it's on us, the people that are currently the ones that are active in the economy, the ones that are producing right now, to preserve that for the next generation. We have that responsibility. So I think there's a lot there, but I think exposure, awareness, and being present is a way to come full circle on this a lot of times, even if you did not grow up poor, because that exposure will help you become, will help that become a realization.
Jake, the life coach, brother.
No,
go on vacation and
learn
something.
That's what happens
to
me. When I get out of the grind, the brain starts to work a little bit, right? I love being a robot, but I also need to get out there a little bit, so...
Can I share something on that, Jake?
Yes.
So about like 12 months ago, I went to Mumbai, India. Mumbai is like an Indian financial capital, like almost like New York. And I went there for
one day. You mean South Florida?
Sorry?
You mean South Florida?
Yeah, South Florida, Miami. Yeah. Let's keep Gino happy here. So I went there for one day conference with one of my mentors, Steve Hardison. And I was there for like a couple of days after the conference. So I went to a very slum area just to see how the life is. And along with a couple of other American friends, we all there. And we are watching there. They're living in a very, I think like you can't even imagine the houses that they are living in. But what we noticed is kids in that area, they're so happy. They're giving high fives. They're playing cricket.
They're actually playing, right? They're outside being kids. Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. They're so
versus
happy.
Versus drones like, to the magnet machine. You know, it's... yeah.
Right. Yeah. And their parents are so happy. And we all got a realization. We are in the Western world living in $1 million homes. We don't have that happiness. Sometimes the real happiness is not on the bank balance or size of the home. It's all about being who you are. And just like with the muddy dress, giving, playing, and giving high fives and hugs, those things like we realize, like these are the rich people. Maybe we are just like branding them with something that we think like what is running on our mind. If you change the story, what you're saying in Aruba, it's like a perfect example. Sometimes we need to go to those places and mm-hmm. see what the true wealth is.
Mm-hmm. And I think to round out the answer, to me, it's about connection. Because before I got on the podcast and I got on with both of you, I was a little annoyed, a little cranky. But then we got on, all three of us, we have a connection. We started laughing and joking. And I think the gratitude and the awareness, and all of a sudden, life is great. I think if you live in a bubble all by yourself and you're going to do everything by yourself, it's very hard to have that awareness, to have that connection. And I think ultimately, we don't strive for the bank balances. We strive for the relationships and for those connections that ultimately will make you create more money and create more wealth. That's just a byproduct. But what we're ultimately trying to do is trying to create connection amongst, I think, ourselves. So to me, that was so evident and so apparent this morning. I got on, and then me and Jake and Ramsey were all joking around before we hit the record button, and there was just a moment of joy. And I don't want to say peace, but joy and happiness there. And it's like, okay, this day is going to be fine. But if you're by yourself all the time and you're in your own head and you're watching the news and everything's negative, it's very hard to show gratitude. So if nothing else,
there's a level
of
protectionism. Yeah, there's a level of protectionism too when folks acquire wealth that changes their existence. And I grew up poor. I grew up on a dirt road. I was 15 minutes outside of a very rural town. I would play in the woods. My parents would never know where I was. I'd be miles away, literally deep in the woods, doing whatever the hell I wanted, finding other kids that were 2 miles away, just to live life and be a kid. And we'd play outside all day. And there was an enormous amount of freedom there. And I see that, you know, as my life has developed and we've grown wealth, and my kids have a different childhood and existence, and there's more walls and boundaries put up, and it's sad in a way, you know, to you know, Vamsi's point, because that wasn't my experience or existence growing up. And I think that's changed for a lot of people, and when you describe those kids in the place you just visited, it was probably more similar to that than my kid's existence, which is sad in some ways and a little weird, if I'm being honest. So there's that thing to contend with as well.
Vamsi, when you decided to go on your personal journey, do you remember any specific moment working in corporate saying, this is just not for me? I don't want this. This is not what I was made for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so almost 10, 12 years ago, I was in a path to become a senior executive in one of the large health insurance companies, Blue Cross Blue Shield in Pennsylvania. So while I was in the boardroom, I was started like noticing people. They're not like really, really happy. They're always like wearing some mask. They're not the same person who is outside, who is talking inside that. And I saw myself, this is not the path I wanted to be. And I keep like digging more and investing more into my personal growth. I started like getting a taste from Tony Robbins, Brendan Burchard, all these like pretty, pretty awesome thought leaders. One day I was watching Tony Robbins in Unleash the Power Within. I was sitting in the front row, two rows behind the front row. Front row got dedicated to all the celebrities. And I saw Tony was completely in the state. Like he was like in a joyful state. He's doing all these things. And later I did a math. That weekend, Tony made more money than my CEO can make in the entire his career. And I also watched closely like my CEO and all the C-level people that I was surrounded with. They're completely in opposite state. Whereas Tony is completely joyful. He's living in the moment. He can see that like, say, this guy is going to be changing the world. Whereas other people, they are like completely frustrated. They are like, no, they're not doing it right for their health, their family. Everybody's like maybe feeling that inside. That came to me. I don't want to be that person. And I started seeking like, how can I pivot from this? And that was like pretty quick, obvious. And I started my journey there.
So Vamsi, when you tell your family, parents that you're going to be not working in the C-suite, you're going to be going on your own business, how was that received initially? Because I know Indians, they have the culture like the Italians. You have to have a great job. You got to go to college. You got to progress up the so-called corporate ladder. You can't take any risks.
Stroking the parents' ego, right?
Yes, you can't take any risks. Yeah. Yes, I mean, what were you met with?
Yeah, I had to really like push my vision to them, especially my parents. My wife, I'm pretty lucky. Like she's been supportive, and I tested the ground before I quitting my job, Gino and Jake. So I started my coaching as a side business while I was working like a 60 hours a week on the corporate. And I saw that, okay, I think like I'm seeing some success here. How about I expanding that? And I decided the date, this is the date I wanted to quit my job. That was like a December 31st of 2019. And just a few days before that date, got a phone call from doctor's office. My wife went for a regular checkup and they asked her to do some scans. And the call was she got diagnosed with cancer. And we both like collapsed and say not to do what exactly. Like there was no information in the phone call. And because of the Christmas, the office is closed next day. And we have no plan. What is that? What kind of cancer? What kind of like the next steps are? We have to wait until the office opens after the Christmas. And then we went there and we got to know that the surgery has to be done within a month. And my wife said only one thing. Don't change your plans because of this. And I was completely aligned at that point. I asked myself, because I think like maybe God is trying to test my will. Just like this is like a testing thing that really I wanted to do, or I wanted to just like maybe say, use this as an excuse to skip my thing. I just like immediately sent an email. I'm going to be taking 3 months of unpaid leave. And I took 3 months to support my wife. She's completely cancer-free now. And in the 3 months, I really like more clarity. After that, I gave my resignation. And all of my like managers and above, they said like, Vamsi, you're crazy. You know, what is the healthcare in this country? You are going to be going bankrupt if you don't have health insurance and you are just getting started. I said like, I know what I'm doing. I know where I came from. I used to make $30 a month. I'm a lot better now. And I have like more wisdom with all the mentors that I surrounded with. That helped me. And immediately, second big obstacle, going to my parents and sharing this, that they are like completely nervous. And they're first nervous about my wife's condition and second, like my decision at the same time. And I traveled just like a few days before the world shut down, went to India, spent a couple of days with my parents and told them, this is the direction. And I'm going all in. I know exactly what I'm doing. Don't just like maybe come in between way. And they supported me. And here I am.
Well, Vamsi, it's interesting that you say your wife supported you wholeheartedly. I think for anybody listening to this, if you want to have a relationship with somebody, with your spouse or significant other or a partner, I think you have to support them as well. And I think your wife probably understood, hey, Vamsi's got to do this. He'll be in my corner and I'll be in his corner. I think the same thing happened to Jake and his wife and myself and my wife, that she knew that I needed to do real estate full time and she was in my corner. And I think she knew that if something happened, I would support her fully. So getting the support of your spouse is important. Painting the picture of what you want to accomplish is important as well. Because I told my wife I wanted to become financially free. And she's like, well, what do you mean? I got enough money. I don't need money. I'm like, well, you may not be in, but I had to explain to her what financial freedom actually meant. And once I painted the picture and she understood the vision, it was a lot easier to get her to, you know, say to herself, wow, this is really a cool vision. I can be on board 100% with Gino. Now, when you launched it, your business, what were you focusing on in the business?
So in the beginning, I had too many things, Gino. I was just like anyone else. I was all over the place. I was trying to solve every single problem on the under the planet. Mm-hmm. And within like a few months, I was able to get focused on like, this is exactly what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And slowly, like I was improving that. I was going on one-on-one coaching in the beginning. I started group coaching. And this is one other mentor, Taki Moore, helped me during that point, like moving from ordinary one-on-one into the group side and also scaling that business. Many other mentors. I invested almost a lot of money, like more than $600,000 on my personal growth on various programs. So all the mentors definitely created like each step. Helped me to where I am right now.
So Vamsi, would you say that getting the clarity was achieved through all of these different personal developments and all through all these different trainings?
Yeah, personal developments definitely like helped me. I think getting clarity is all about taking the first step. Mm-hmm. We can get clarity if you're sitting on the hand, mm-hmm. right? I never had any clarity of how US is going to be. I never saw snow in my life until I landed in Columbus, Ohio 20 years ago. right? The same way, we don't know whether you're investing into maybe a big business, or maybe you can't see the stop signs, you can't see the red lights unless like you move out from your home and get into your car. The same way for me as well. And the personal development helped me to fuel that growth.
And I know you got connected with Brendan. How did you get connected with Brendan in Master Talk, and how did that relationship start?
Sure. Brendan, this is again like one of the personal development events. I'm at Louis' house, part of Tony Robbins' event. We are buddies in the front row. And Louis was my accountability partner there during the one of the activity, I think, date with Destiny. And immediately, Louis said that, hey, have you been to any of my events? I said, like, I know your podcast, but I never been to your event. He said, like, come as my guest. So I was in Columbus, Ohio again with Louis House, attending his podcast, live event. Brendan came there. And this was like a 5 o'clock, you know, this is all like a completely random. We are doing a workout in the morning, and Brendan was doing burpees next to me. I looked at him and said, this kid is killing. Even though he got like a little bit of disability and he was doing burpees faster than me, immediately I said like, hey, what do you do? He said like, I'm a YouTuber. I said like, oh, one more YouTuber. And we never connected during that conference. After that, he scheduled a call with me and we started talking. He started asking, hey, looks like you are heavily invested into personal growth. Where are you going next? I said, I'm going to San Diego for Brendan Burchard. And I said, like, okay, I'll come there. So he came there. We spent in the same hotel. And that's how the connection built. Like 6 months later, we started our business together.
So Brendan Kumarsari, for those of you that don't know, he has a company called Master Talk. He's an amazing communicator. He teaches all about communication. There's so many different levels, so many different skills, relationship building. It's for corporate as well as for public speaking and stage. And I think a couple of the things that we need to learn in life, a couple of the skills that we need to learn in life that we don't learn in school, obviously money is probably on the top. But to me, negotiation and communication are two of the biggest things that we need to learn. Because if we can't communicate our ideas and we can't negotiate, those are things we do every day, all the time, subconsciously. And it's just amazing to me now diving into that part of my life. I'm like, I wish I'd gotten into this sooner. And it's so, so important. I mean, as far as communication, what have you learned with Brendan through communication?
Absolutely. So this is one of the challenges that I had while I was growing up, because I came from like very like a humble beginnings. My parents could not afford me to send to college, which teaches in school and college in English. So I went to the Telugu medium, which is like a local language in India. And English was the toughest thing for me. And in the corporate, one day after getting into the management position, I supposed to give this almost like 12, 13 years ago, supposed to give one keynote presentation. So I was super excited. I just became a manager and about 15 people reporting to me. I prepared all night to give that presentation. And I got onto the stage and immediately I noticed that not 15 people in the room, 150 people in the room. My director invited all of his direct reports and also his boss, a vice president also in the room. By just looking at them, I completely bombed on the stage. That night, I felt like I was like a really, really miserable. And my wife asked me, I never saw you so much like a dull anytime before. What happened to you? I said, like, I think I took a job where I can't deliver the demand. And she said, like, maybe you're good at something else. Why don't you go back and do that job? Immediately, a big light bulb on. My intention was next day, go to my boss and tell him, thank you so much for this leadership position. I don't think I like this position. I wanted to go back to my technology, being an architect and doing all the stuff behind the scenes. So that was the intention. That one thing that manager told me completely changed my course of my career. You did pretty well yesterday. I was just like shocked for a second and said, like, what? He said, like, you did pretty well yesterday on the stage.
Was that before or after you told him you wanted to quit?
I did not even say anything. My intention was...
Can you imagine if you'd come out swinging and said, I want to quit? And he just said, okay. How quickly life could have changed.
Right, yeah. And that moment I realized, Jake, is somebody believed in me more than I believed in myself.
And you were probably being overly critical. You weren't able to self-reflect as well. You seen yourself on stage. You were nervous. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. So
yeah,
sounds like you had a great leader there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that moment, I decided I don't want to let this leader down for any of the reasons. I started like that was my spark on investing more into my communication. This is like long ago, before Brendan was even like in the in the school. So that's where it started, and it never stopped. And this is my take on anyone like who's watching this. You have maybe 9 by 10 on your technology, on your business, maybe on management, on scale. But if your communication is 2 by 10, the world is going to be looking at you 2 by 10, no matter what. It's not about what we know. It's about how well we are communicating. Mm-hmm. That's exactly the matter. So that's exactly the reason that we both aligned in that business model. Say, we really wanted to help people. If we can help them, give them the best gift that they will receive, gift of communication, I think they're going to be doing amazing things, whether they're in the real estate or in the trades or maybe in the technology.
Vamsi, before we go to the short answers, if I'm listening to this and I am in the corporate, and I really don't like it, it doesn't align, what are some of the things that I should be doing right now to change my situation?
Sure. First, identify your purpose. This is not, again, like you're going on to a 6-month sabbatical. You can start something, because we all have seasons in our life. Which season that I am in right now? Mm-hmm. Is that like maybe I'm in like between 30s and 40s? I wanted to explore what are the possibilities. Call yourself very simple. Maybe I wanted to fix my health this year. I wanted to fix my communication this quarter. Just like purpose is not something that you have to have a 10-page document. Identify your blind spots and see, is that like maybe something that I wanted to improve on? And start taking that first step. Once you take the first step, you're going to see the next step and the next step and the next step. So get the purpose. Second one is about get a proximity. Most of the times we are who we are because of our proximity. If you look at like, especially in Indian neighborhood, pretty much everybody lives in the same house, like maybe a 4-bedroom, 5-bedroom, 2 cars, paid off everything, sitting money in the bank account, because everyone else having the same thing. So if you are surrounded with those people, that is the max that you can get. Surround yourself with the people who are dreaming big, who are just like pushing their edges. So the proximity is the real power. Find that group. Final thing is to have a plan, have an accountability, like somebody who is just like, say, pushing you a little harder. Hey, why you are stopping after like maybe 20 push-ups? Why not go for 100? Mm-hmm. And have that plan in place and just proceed further. Purpose, proximity, and have a plan and who can support you in the journey.
Got it. All right, gang, let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsor.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from 0 units to over $250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Yield Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from 0 to 2,000 units and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey. Multifamily.
All right, we are back. I notice the Steve Jobs book over your left shoulder. One of my top three all-time favorite business books. You see it back there. It's on the second shelf. He's hiding it now, Gino, with his shoulder.
Other way.
There it is. There, yeah. Folks on YouTube. So is that one of your favorites? You like that book?
Yeah, I learned so many things from Steve Jobs, especially studying him. And I never got an opportunity to meet him in person, but I really like spent a lot of time on digging about like his ideology, his methodology. There is one thing that stands out for me, Jake, from Steve Jobs. He always says that every interaction that you are having with the other person, either we are depositing something or withdrawing something. It could be with your business partner. It could be with you both of you right now, or maybe your prospect on the call. Either we are depositing something or withdrawing something. You know what happens if you keep withdrawing the things? You are going to be bankrupt. This could be with our kids. This could be with our partner. This could be with our parents. Every interaction, we are depositing or withdrawing. Yeah, there are so many lessons, but this is one thing always like I keep in my mind. Am I depositing here or am I withdrawing it here?
Yeah, I think the other thing from Steve Jobs that was so influential for myself was his emphasis on A players, the same way that Nick Saban focuses on A players or did in his college football coaching. Two of the best to ever do it in their respective fields. And they saw the importance of building great teams with the right people and then letting those folks flourish and bring in the good to your life. So I just love that book. Had to point that out. Anything else that you've read or digested in the last year or so that has added a lot of value to your life?
So many things. One other thing that from Steve Jobs, I really liked about his personal journey. When Steve Jobs was younger, one day he was painting his fence, and he completed painting it entire like a fence outside his home. And everybody who's walking by saying that, good job, kid. And he was waiting for his dad to just like come and see that. His dad came in from the work. He did not say anything to Steve, and he was so curious. Everybody did like say, sir, I did really good job. Why my dad is not talking anything about it? And that evening he went to his dad and said, dad, did you notice that I painted the fence? He said like, yeah. He was expecting great job. And his dad said that, Steve, you did good job outside. What about inside? And Steve said that, dad, who's going to look inside? And his dad said that, kid, we look inside. That is the biggest transformation that Steve Jobs got in his entire life. And the same principle, long ago after like that incident, when he released the first Mac computer, he told his engineers, hey guys, this is going to be the best looking computer outside. But remember, this computer is going to be looking so good inside. And all the engineers were saying that, who cares about inside? And Steve Jobs said, we do. If you look at any Apple product from that day, beginning until now, it looks inside and outside so beautifully. So there are like so many lessons like from Steve Jobs that's so passionate about his teachings.
I extrapolate something else from that story. And from that story, I extrapolate that Steve Jobs built Apple and an empire just for the approval of his father, which he probably never received. So Steve Jobs probably had to do a little bit of work on himself, and that's probably why he never really connected with his family and why in his deathbed he had all of those regrets. So if you're out there building something amazing, I'm not telling you to stop. All I'm telling you to do is to slow down and understand why it is that you're building it. And once you can understand the why, are you building it for the right reasons or for the wrong reasons? And if you're building them for the wrong reasons, maybe you pivot and you try to understand what the right reasons are. And once you do that, you will not only build an amazing thing, you will feel amazing doing it, and you'll be creating impact beyond what you could ever imagine. And on top of that, you'll be really creating amazing connections, which is what Steve Jobs and what the rest of us are all trying to accomplish in this world, is by creating connections with others.
Beautiful, beautiful. Gino, I got goosebumps by listening
to
that.
Well, I think there's an interesting truth to what Gino's saying, because there's a lot of people that can be successful at business, but are they healthy? Do they feel good about themselves? Do they have connections with their wife? Do they have connections with their kids? And I think a lot of times when you sacrifice on the journey to become, say, a trillionaire, you may leave, you know, scorched earth behind you in other areas of your life and leave a life of regret. So finding, you know, the way to maximize, you know, multiple areas of your life may be something for folks to consider. Look, I am not one to sit here and judge and tell people how to live their lives, but it's something I think for all folks to consider, because I believe for myself personally that trying to have a fulfilled life, you can look at it through the five F's, right? Faith, financial, fitness, friends. What am I missing here?
Family.
Family. There you go. Oh, shit. Now I'm really screwing up after Christian that one. But that's why I got the GDAD for me. I usually can remember three things, right? And I hit four, so that's a good day for me. And that's the gratitude coming out. But I think it's something to consider so you don't leave scorched earth and regret behind. Going back to the questions, what about a habit? And we talked about gratitude earlier. What would you say your best habit for success is?
Always slowing down and looking inside. Most of the times we are all only looking at the things outside. What is my bank balance looking like? How many things that I accomplished? Sometimes I think we need to slow down and just sit in a calm area. Just like ignore all the noises. Take your notebook out and write down like what are the things that you really grateful for? What's going on in your mind? And one activity that I do it very frequently, every time when I feel overwhelmed, Jake, is sit down and write down like a 2-3 pages of things on the white paper. What's going on in my mind? Just like empty all the things. This is, I think, like maybe out of like maybe 100 things that I coach a lot of executives and senior business people. They say that this is the most valuable thing for them. Mm-hmm. Just like spend like 30 minutes, 45 minutes, write down every single thing. Don't even look back what is in there. You can call this morning pages. You can call this like maybe clear your cache, whatever that is. That habit, I think, really helped me and helped like many of my clients.
I think scale is one of the pieces that most entrepreneurs miss on. Or if you say someone's going from solopreneur or a 2-3 person shop to actually growing something that is truly scalable, you know, that can run itself, a well-oiled machine, if you will. What are some tips for you on scaling? Because again, I think that moment of inception when a business starts small and the entrepreneur has to insert themselves into so many areas, that's the difference between success and failure for so many folks. So you know, what did you see in your growth to enable scale and some tips for folks?
Absolutely. So first of all, we can't scale anything outside before we scale something inside. So we need to be very clear about our alignment, why we are doing what Gina was talking about before, why we are doing what we are doing. Most of the people, they don't see the bigger picture. And see that bigger picture. And also, it's not about adding more or it's not about doing more. It's all about eliminating more. The only way to scale is doing less. We need to identify what are the 20% activities that I really wanted to focus on. And leave 80% space for the growth. Whereas like many people, sometimes including me, I do it opposite way. I just like maybe fill my plate with 80% and leave little room for 20%. So elimination. This is all about like Michelangelo's David. So here, David, it's like it's a big stone. And like from there, Michelangelo saw David with all the six pack and all the things, right? So if you read the story, pretty fascinating. He went to the graveyard and he used to play with the bodies to see, understand what exactly inside. The same way, we need to just like slow down a little bit and chip away all the things that are not serving, not doesn't belong in our future journey. Whatever that could be. Focus is the key. And many people, I think, doing so many things in so many ways. We can go 1 inch in 10 different directions, nothing happens. Whereas if you go 10 inches in one direction, you can create magic.
Jake, do you mind if I mention or add something to that, please?
No, Gino, you cannot.
Thank you.
You got permission.
I'm going to anyway. And I think we've been perpetuated on this myth that we have to scale. But ask yourself a question. First of all, do you want to scale? And there's nothing wrong with either yes or no. And when you do scale, if your life and your identity is about your business and you're scaling yourself out of your business, is that the right thing? Do you want to be taken out of your business? Because I know if Jake is taken out of his business, he's going to be a pretty cranky boy. I can't even get him down to Florida for 2 days because he's got to get back to work. So understand why it is that you're scaling. Is it because someone's told you to scale and that's what all businesses need to do and you need to get a 10x multiple? Well, that's logical. That's not emotional. Let your emotions gather in and let your emotions sit with you. And you know the answer to yourself. It's in your gut. Jake and I read the book Small Giants. we don't want to have 20,000 units. We're pretty happy with 1,800 right now and getting 300 a year and not having to raise capital. Understanding what you want, we're scaling intelligently. We're scaling the way we want to. We want to be part of our businesses. It's Jake and Gino because we want to be present in these businesses. We want to have the culture and the core value of these businesses. And for us to say, yeah, I'm going to scale this business. I'm going to work one day a week. I don't think that's going to bring me joy. What ultimately has brought me joy with the Jake and Gino company is having employees who love to come to work. I mean, this weekend we had an event and I was amazed at how much adulation we got from the speaker who we brought in. And that made me feel real happy because I worked at the restaurant for 20 years and it didn't feel as if my employees wanted to be there. And now I've built a company where employees want to be here. They love it. They love the change they see in people. I don't want to scale myself out of that. I want more of that. That's my purpose and my impact. So I challenge everybody out there, this whole scale thing, do you want to scale? And then ultimately, what does it look like to you? Like Vamsi is talking about, what does that plan look like for you? And once you can understand that, then I would say go for it. Jake, thanks for letting me share that. Appreciate it, brother.
I'm going to squash it right now, Gino. Scaling is the pinnacle of a good business and a well-oiled machine. It does not mean you need to take yourself out of it. You can totally be a part of the journey and the growth. It's just business excellence. You got to have it, bro.
Let me ask you, you know, the whole four-hour work week and work, you know, 3 months and a year. I mean, do people want to do that? Most entrepreneurs are building something. They don't even know why they're building it. They're building it to sell. But then they're selling it. Then there's a void there. Well, why did I do all this work to have the void?
Build the culture and the value that you want to be a part of it, if that's your thing, right? But again, I think it's what you want. And going back to what Vamsi said is finding out your path, your destiny, and what's going to bring you true joy and happiness. Look, man, still got to grow towards excellence, baby. We got to have that shit.
Can I add something, Jake?
No.
Yes.
Take away.
So your past doesn't mean the future is going to be the same. A lot of times, like, people think like, I've done all these things until this point, this is how the future is going to be. In my world, the way I tell myself, past is a draft. We can go back and edit the past anytime based on where we are heading. And just like look at some example, Mahatma Gandhi or anyone in their past, they supported something happened to them and completely changed the way. Mahatma Gandhi used to support Britishers before he was going to South Africa, and he thought Britishers are going to be bringing a lot of things to India. And after landing in South Africa, his identity got changed and he became a completely different person. Mother Teresa, you know, heard about Mother Teresa's story. She was very scared, very introvert. She did not even apply for a principal position in the school because she thought she's going to be rejected. Whereas a few months later, the change happened to her and she changed the world with her work, right? So it doesn't mean that whatever happened in the past, it's not going to be the same for next maybe 3 years, next 5 years. You can change any time and you can create something big.
Those are great illustrations of people who had callings and they leaned into their callings and they were open to whatever was their lives. And once they understood what they were called to do, that's why they're here on this earth. They showed up and they made such an amazing impact in the world.
Absolutely.
Gino, you ready?
For what?
Dude, get on the horse, man.
I'm gonna give the recap. I mean, this show has just flown by. I didn't even expect we're already up with time. Well, anyway, Vamsi's in Singapore. He's sitting there going, "I want to go to the U.S. just because I want to drive a BMW." Okay,
the guy, the SUV, the X5, the M,
X5, X5M.
X5M. And the guy's like, "You're crazy." So he gets on a plane, goes to Columbus, lands while it's snowing, and he's probably saying to himself, "What am I doing here?" And as he's in the US, he's working his way up, and he's in the C-suite. And I think one day he's sitting in a boardroom and he's listening to these guys drone on about nothing and sees how miserable they are. And he's saying to himself, I just don't want to envision myself the next 15 or 20 years going up this fake ladder and becoming one of them. The energy that's in this room, I don't want to be part of that energy. He takes a step back and he says, what do I really want to do? And then he starts his coaching business on the side, continues to start the coaching. And after he feels the confidence, he says, I'm going to go for it. But something tragically happens in 2019 where his wife gets sick. And that's another testament to what God does. He puts things in our lives, with barriers in our lives, and he makes things challenging. And he says, you know what? You're going to persevere through this to get to the other side. Most people would say, you know what? There's my excuse. I'm going to get out of that. I can't do it right now. But no, Vamsi got together with his wife. She supported him fully because I think she knew that he would support her fully. It's teamwork makes the dream work, just like a multifamily. He perseveres from there, starts his business, tells corporate, fly a kite. And the three P's, identify your purpose, your proximity, and your plan. And by doing those three P's, you can start living a purposeful and an amazing life. Back to you, Jake.
PPP. Get that PPP.
One of the best recap I've ever heard in my maybe 50 plus podcast guest appearances. You know, fantastic.
Thank you.
The G-Daddy, everyone. Last question. Best way for folks to get a hold of you?
LinkedIn is the best place. Vamsi Polimetla. I'm always like active, available on LinkedIn. This is something that I learned from one of my mentor almost like 10 years ago. Vamsi, you don't need a website. You don't need a fancy digital presence until you make your first million a year. And I just like trusted him. Almost like this year, my first year, I'm going to be crossing 7 figures. I'm going to have a website by sometime soon.
Right.
I don't have any other website. I'm just like using LinkedIn as my only source.
That's awesome.
Very good. Gang, as always, we believe in buying deals for the long term. Think in decades. I'm Jake. He is the Voodoo Ranger, the G-Daddy, and we make it happen. We'll see you next time. Thanks very much.